Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, everyone. So glad that everyone is tuned in and ready to receive the word. We're going to continue in our Torah portion. So thankful for the technology we have. What a great time to be living, you know, for times like this to where we have to can't assemble together for whatever the reason is that, and we have this technology to where people can log in and still feel his presence and still get the word. So I'm just so thankful that everyone is on, and we'll go ahead and get started. We are in our Torah Porsha 22-23. It's a double portion, and it's Vayakel, and it's Hebrew for "and he assembled." And Pekudi, in his Hebrew for "amounts of." In Torah's Exodus 35, 1 through 40, 38. And we covered 35, 36, and 37 last night. And we will finish with 38, 39, and 40. And I'm so thankful that he's a man of his word. Huh? We are who he say we are, the great I am. So thankful for that. Half Torah is 1 Kings 5, 7, 51 through 8, 21. And the topics in 38, 39, and 40, topics in Exodus 38 is the outer court described. So we're going to take a look at this morning. The priestly garments described in Exodus 39. And in Exodus 40, the tabernacle set up, priests anointed. The Shekinah glory fills the tabernacle. And this is where we left off last night with the brazen altar. I know y'all on Facebook, on live, can't see the slides, but the couple people that are here can see it. So that's why I put it on the overhead. But it's the brazen altar. The brazen or bronze altar was a key element of the tabernacle in the wilderness, a place where the priests sacrificed animals to atone for their sins. It reminded them they were not worthy to approach Yah without first offering a blood sacrifice for their sins. And the same thing applies for us today. We are not worthy to approach Yah. We was not worthy to approach Yah until the blood sacrifice for Yeshua HaMashiach. And I'm so thankful for that blood, that now I am able to approach Yah the way he allows me to approach him. Making the Exodus 38:1, making the altar of burnt offerings. And he made the slaughter place of ascending offerings of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide, square and 3 cubits high. And he made it horns on its 4 corners. The horns were of it. And he overlaid it with bronze. And he made all the utensils of the slaughter place, the pots and the shovels, and the basins and the forks, and the fire holders. He made all its utensils of bronze. Verse 4, and he made a grating for the slaughter place, a bronze network under its rim, midway from the bottom. And he cast 4 rings for the 4 corners of the bronze grating as holders for the poles. And he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. And he put the poles into the rings on the sides of the slaughter place with which to lift it. He made the slaughter place hollow with boards. And now we're coming into the basin. And as you can see, there's a picture of the high priest. He's cleansing himself. He's washing his hands. And he had to wash their hands and their feet every time they had to do this before they enter into the holy place. But there's a reason behind all of this. The priest washed in the laver for bronze before entering the holy place. They washed in this large basin, cleaning their hands and feet with water to prepare them for service. Yah declared that this was to be a statute forever to them. The washing of the priests was to be observed for Aaron and his descendants in all ages, as long as their priesthood lasted. Yah wanted his people to understand the importance of purity. Making the bronze basin, Exodus 38:8. And he made the basin of bronze and its stand of bronze from the bronze mirrors of the serving women who did service at the door of the tent of appointment. And I want you to think about this. This bronze, it says it's made of mirrors because this bronze was, it was polished to where you can actually see your reflection. And they're coming up, notice they're coming up from just slaughtering an animal by the altar. So he's coming up, and he's coming up to this basin that he's coming to wash and cleanse his hands. And you think about this, put yourself in their shoes. You're coming up after an animal had to die for your sins. So you looking at your reflection, in not only in the bronze, but in the water. And it's just like the word of God, the word of Yah. What just happened to take place was for my sins. That sacrifice, that animal, the blood that is still on my hands, and you looking at yourself and it's confronted to you. You can't escape it. You're looking at yourself as the reflection. And James put it so wonderful, because it's the same thing as the word. This is what the word does to you. James 1, verse 22 through 25. And become doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what he was like. Verse 25, but he that looked into the perfect Torah, that of freedom, because that's what that sin, that's what that animal represent. Their sin was forgiven, freedom, and continues in it, not becoming a hearer that forgets, but a doer of the work. This one shall be blessed in his doing of the Torah. Hallelujah. The making of the court, verse 9. And he made the courtyard for the south side. The screens of the courtyard were of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long. There are 20 columns and there are 20 sockets of bronze. The hooks of the columns and their bands were of silver. And for the north side, the screens were 100 cubits long. There are 20 columns and there are 20 sockets of bronze. The hooks of the columns and their bands were of silver. And for the west side, there were screens of 50 cubits. There are 10 columns and there are 10 sockets. The hooks of the columns and their bands were of silver. And the east side, eastward, 50 cubits. 15 cubits of screens on the one side with their three columns and their three sockets. And 15 cubits of screen the other side of the courtyard gate on this side and that side with their three columns and their three sockets. All the screens of the courtyard all around were of fine woven linen, and the sockets of the columns were of bronze. The hooks of the columns and their bands were of silver, and the overlay of their tops was of silver, and all the columns of the courtyard had bands of silver. Verse 18, and the covering for the gate of the courtyard was the work of an embroider of blue and purple and scarlet material and of fine woven linen, and 20 cubits long, and the height along its width was 5 cubits, corresponding to the screens of the courtyard. And the columns were four, and their sockets of bronze for, their hooks were of silver, and the overlay of their tops and their bands was of silver. And all the pegs of the dwelling place and of the courtyard all around were of bronze. The materials used in the construction of the tabernacle. Nothing is by accident. Listen to this, it's so powerful. Nothing is by accident, because we think that, you know, all this doesn't have, there's meaning to everything that Yah prescribed in his description of how he wanted this thing built. Nothing is by accident, coincidence, or haphazard with Yah. He is ordered, and everything has a definite purpose. Everything in his word is there for a reason. Even the materials used in the construction of the tabernacle communicate to us his eternal truths. Everything in this tabernacle communicated to us and his eternal truths. Every socket, every color, everything that he described on how to do it. The materials used in the tabernacle were willingly offered to Yah by the children of Israel. Each material used speaks to us something important. As we look at each, something becomes apparent. They all represent something about Yeshua and his atonement and point forward to him. The materials represent the goal is deity, divine nature of Christ. The silver is redemption, the atonement of Christ, the money paid to Judas to betray him, who is the ransom for us. Silver, redemption. The brass is judgment against sin. And notice, that's what the basin was made of. It was made of a brass, because that represents judgment, because of what he just did, the price that was just paid. And here we are, we're looking at it. We're looking at our reflection through this brass and through this water, and that's our judgment. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Had to happen. Precious stones, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the preciousness of Yah's own people. Fine linen is righteousness. The shittim, the acacia wood, the humanity of Christ. The oil is the Holy Spirit. Spices used in the anointing oil and the incense represents Christ and his nature and the imparting of Christ's nature to the believer. The incense represents prayer. Blue, heavenly, divine nature, like the color of the heavens. Purple, royalty, kingship. This was the most precious color in ancient time. And what they put on Yeshua when they crucified and mocked him, they put a scarlet robe on him. But that represents kingship and royalty. Scarlet sacrifice, the color of blood. The goat's hair, it's atonement for sin. An example, a goat died to provide its hair. Ram skin, atonement for sin. A ram died to provide its skin. And badger skins, the humanity or the outward appearance of Christ, the atonement. And that was just a short version of meaning. It goes so much deeper when you get into the Strong's and actually pulling up all those things, and it's just so powerful. So I challenge you, go and dig into this, because it's just so powerful. It's no coincidence what Yah had described for them to unify, to come together and to bring all these things to him to prepare his tabernacle. Because listen, this is the place where he was going to dwell. Materials for the tabernacle, Exodus 38:21. These were the appointments of the dwelling place of the witness, which was appointed by the mouth of Moshe for the service of the Levites. by the hand of Itamar, son of Aharon, the priest, and Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Yehuda, made all that Yah had commanded Moshe. What did he do? He made all that Yah had commanded Moshe. And with him, Oholiab, son of Ashimach, of the tribe of Dan, and an engraver and designer and embroider in blue and purple and scarlet material and in fine linen. Notice these guys was well equipped to do the engraver and the designer. There was professionals at this. Verse 24, all the gold prepared for the work and all the work of the set apart place, and it was the gold of the wave offering, came to be 29 talents and 730 shekels, according to the shekel of the set apart place. And the silver from the ones counted of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels, according to the shekel of the set apart place. There's a lot of silver and gold that they was bringing. And they were still bringing. Remember, Moshe had to tell them, stop, stop, stop. Why? Because this was right after they did something horrible and terrible. And they realized that Yah had forgave them. And that's what you do. When you realize that your sins has been forgiven, you go all out. You give it your all. Verse 26. A becca, half a shekel for a head, according to the shekel of the set apart place, for everyone passing over to those counted, from 20 years old and above, for 603,550 men. And 100 talents of silver were for casting the sockets of the set apart place, and the bases of the veil, 100 sockets from the 100 talents, a talent for each socket. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the columns and overlaid their tops and made bands for them. And the bronze of the wave offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. And with it, he made the sockets for the door of the tent of appointment and the bronze slaughter place and the bronze grating for it, and all the utensils for the slaughter place, and the sockets for the courtyard all around, and the bases for the courtyard gate, and all the pegs for the dwelling place, and all the pegs for the courtyard all around. I want you to keep in mind as we're going through this, all the material list. That's a serious material list that they're putting together to build this Mishkan, this tabernacle. Making the priestly garments, Exodus 39:1. And of the blue and purple and scarlet material, they made woven garments to do service in the set-apart place. And they made the set-apart garments which were for Aharon, as Yah had commanded Moshe. Notice who's doing the commanding behind here. It's Yah. Yah telling them what to do and how to do it. And he made the shoulder garment of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material, and of fine woven linen. And they beat out sheets of gold and cut it into threads to work it in with the blue and purple and scarlet materials and the fine linen, the work of a skilled workman. And they're saying on those shoulders garments was the six on each side was the tribe. And you can read the scripture, I think it's in Isaiah, when it says, to us a child is born, and the governments will be upon his shoulders. All that ties in together. They made shoulder pieces, verse 4, they made shoulder pieces for it to join it. It was joined at its two edges. And the embroidered band of his shoulder garment that was on it was of the same work of gold and blue and purple and scarlet material in a fine woven linen. And Yah, as Yah had commanded Moshe. And they made the Shoham stone set in plated work of gold, engraved as signets, or engraved according to the names of the son of Yisrael. And he put them on the shoulders of the shoulder garment, stones of remembrance for the sons of Yisrael, as Yah had commanded Moshe. Notice the 12, what I just mentioned earlier. Six on each shoulder. Verse 8, and he made the breastplate, a work of a skilled workman, like the work of the shoulder garment of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material, and of fine woven linen. So these men was very skilled in doing this. It was square. They made the breastplate double, its length a span, its width a span, doubled. And they filled it with four rows of stones. A row of ruby, a topaz, and an emerald was the first row. And the second row, a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a jacinth, and a agate, and an amethyst. In the fourth row, a beryl, a shoham, and a jasper, set in plated work of gold in their settings. And the stones were according to the names of the sons of Yisrael, 12 according to their names, engraved like a signet, each one with its own name according to the 12 tribes. And they made braided chains of corded work for the breastplate, at the end of clean gold. And they made two settings of gold and two gold rings and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And they put the two cords of gold and the two rings on the ends of the breastplate. And the two ends of the two cords they fastened in the two settings and put them on the shoulder pieces of the shoulder garment in the front. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate, on the edge of it, which was on the inward side of the shoulder garment. And they made two gold rings and put them on the two shoulder pieces underneath the shoulder garment, on the front of it, close to its seam above the embroidered band of the shoulder garment. And they bound the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the shoulder garment with a blue cord so that it would be above the embroidered band of the shoulder garment, and that the breastplate would not come loose from the shoulder garment, as Yah had commanded Moshe. Verse 22, and he made the robe of the shoulder garment of woven work, all of blue. And the opening of the robe was in the middle, like the opening in a scaled armor, with a woven binding all around the opening so that it would not tear. And they made on the hem of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet material twine. And they made bells of clean gold and put the bells between the pomegranates on the hem of the robe all around between the pomegranates. A bell in the pomegranate, a bell in the pomegranate, all around the hem of the robe for the service as Yah had commanded Moshe. And they made the long shirt of fine linen, the worker of a weaver, for Aharon and his sons. And a turban of fine linen, and the turban ornaments of fine linen, and short trousers of fine woven linen, and a girdle of fine woven linen, with a blue and purple and scarlet material, the work of an embroiderer, as Yah had commanded Moshe. And they made the plate, verse 30, and they made the plate of the set-apart sign of dedication of clean gold and wrote on it an inscription like the engraving of a signet, set apartness to Yah. And they put it on a blue cord to fasten it above on the turban. And Yah had commanded Moshe. I think he's wanting us to understand that I'm doing this. I'm leading this project. Not Moses. Because he's telling us over and over again, as Yah had commanded. And listen, if we're doing things as Yah has commanded us, how can you go wrong? We can't go wrong if we're doing it exactly as he's commanding us. And he gives us the instruction manual right here. He's telling us if you do this, if you live the way according to this, you live a prosperous life, and you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong in doing it my way. And he's telling us over and over and over again. This is like the fifth or sixth time he says it, as Yah has commanded Moshe. And there we see the priestly garment. And also, we learned a couple of Torahs ago that this is the armor that he's talking about that we need to put on when he's talking about the armor of Yah. He's not talking about a Roman Catholic heavy, weighed down armor. He's talking about the priestly garment. We put this on and we can fight any battle that comes our way. Verse 32, and all the work of the dwelling place of the tent of the appointment was completed. And the children of Israel did according to all that Yah had commanded Moshe, so they did. So look, all the work of the dwelling place of the tent of appointment was completed. This is just getting everything ready. It hasn't gone up yet. In verse 40 is when they're about to erect the tabernacle. This was just preparing it. So can you imagine the time and that it must have took? And remember, straight off the bat, no work on Shabbat. I'm telling y'all to build this tabernacle, but don't forget to keep Shabbat, to keep it holy. No work on it. And they brought the dwelling place to Moshe, verse 33, the tent and all its furnishing, its hooks, its boards, its bars, and its columns, and its sockets. And the covering of ram skin dyed red, and the covering of fine leather, and the veil of the covering. The ark of the witness with its poles and the lid of the atonement. The table and all its utensils and the showbread. The clean lampstand with its lamps, the lamps to be put in order, and all its utensils and all for light. And the slaughter place of gold and the anointing oil and the sweet incense and the coverings for the tent door. The bronze slaughter place and its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, the screens of the courtyard, its columns and its sockets, and the covering for the courtyard gate, its cord and its pegs, and all the utensils for the service of the dwelling place, for the tent of appointment, the woven garments to do service in the set-apart place, the set-apart garments for Aharon the priest, and his son's garments to serve as priests. According to all that Yah had commanded Moshe, so the children of Israel did all the work. And Moshe looked over all the work and saw they did it as Yah had commanded. So they had done, and Moshe blessed them. Can you imagine? Because he didn't have a blueprint, you know, physically to where he can follow each speck. Yah spoke this to him, and he had to give him a vision for it, first of all. But can you imagine just Yah pouring this information into you and you following it to where it says, Moshe looked over all the work and saw they did it as Yah had commanded. This was a massive thing. This wasn't just no little small thing that they was putting up. This had a lot of gold, a lot of silver, a lot of bronze, a lot of material. I gave you the material list and we just went over it. It was so much that they had to bring and prepare for this. And wow, I thought about that, how Yah was just giving him this information and how he retained all this. But Moshe was, he had that connection with the Father. And it says Moshe blessed them, blessed the people for what they'd done. The tabernacle erected. So now here we go, they got everything completed, they got everything all, the acacia wood overlaid with gold and all the rings and all the sockets and all the pegs, and now they're about to put it up. In chapter 40, verse 1, and Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, on the first day of the first new moon, you are to raise up the dwelling place of the tent of appointment, and shall put in it the ark of the witness, the screen, the ark with the veil, and you shall bring in the table and arrange what belongs on it, and bring in the lampstand and light its lamp. Now I want you to notice again how Yah is telling him to work. He's telling him to work from the most holy of holies to the holy and outward, backward. Why? Because pagan worship, the sun god worship, he wants them facing the west always and work back to the east. Keep you back to the east. So powerful. And you shall bring in the table and arrange what belongs on it, and bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. And you shall set the slaughter place of gold for the incense before the ark of the witness, and put up the covering of the door to the dwelling place. And you shall set the slaughter place of the ascending offering before the door of the dwelling place of the tent of appointment, and shall set the basin between the tent of appointment and the slaughter place, and shall put water therein. And you shall set up the courtyard all around, and shall place the covering of the courtyard gate, and shall take the anointing oil, and anoint the dwelling place and all that is in it, and shall set it and all its utensils apart, and it shall be set apart. And you shall anoint the slaughter place of the ascending offering and all its utensils, and set the slaughter place apart, and the slaughter place shall be most set apart. And you shall anoint the basin and its stand and set it apart. Notice how everything's anointed and set apart. Everything. And you shall bring Aharon and his sons to the door of the tent appointment and wash them with water. And that's what he's trying to tell us. We ought to be set apart. And how we know we're set apart? Keeping his Shabbat, keeping his commandments, and holding to the testimony of Yeshua. That's his people, and that's the ones that are set apart. Verse 13, and you shall put the set apart garments on Aharon and anoint him and set him apart to serve as priest to me. And you shall bring his sons and put long shirts on them and shall anoint them as you anointed their father, and they shall serve as priests to me. And their anointing shall be for them an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. And Moshe did according to all that Yah had commanded him, so he did. And it came to be in the first new moon of the second year, on the first day of the new moon, that the dwelling place was raised up. So it took them a whole year after they had gotten everything together, after they had prepared everything, it took them a whole year to set it up and to put everything into place like Yah had told them. And this is, first Yah spoke to Moshe to get everything together and told him how he wanted it. Then he told him once the tabernacle was erected, once it was set up, then he told him where to place everything at. You're going to put the showbread, you're going to put the menorah, you're going to put the incense, you're going to put the basin, and then you're going to put the altar for sacrifice. It's just amazing, the information and how Yah described how he wanted this done. And it came to be in the first new moon on the second year, a whole year it took to erect this tabernacle. And Moshe raised up the dwelling place and placed its sockets and set up its boards and put in its bars and raised up its columns, and spread the tent over the dwelling place, and put the covering of the tent on top of it. And as Yah had commanded Moshe. And this covering was, it says that it was made of some type of it was an animal skin that's not even, you can't even get it or find it now, but it was to repel the water for when it rained, that the water would just repel off of it. Verse 20, and he took the witness and put it into the ark, and he put the poles through the rings of the ark and put the lid of atonement on the top of the ark, and brought the ark into the dwelling place, and placed the veil of the covering to screen off the ark of the witness, as Yah had commanded Moshe. And he put the table in the tent of the appointment on the north side of the dwelling place, outside the veil, and set the bread in order. Even the bread. To us, that's, you know, that's, it's no big deal. We just put the bread on the table. But everything, remember, I read it, everything had to was in order. Yah works in order. He set the bread in order upon it before Yah, as Yah had commanded Moshe. And he put the lampstand in the tent of the appointment opposite of the table on the south side of the dwelling place, and lit the lamps before Yah, as Yah had commanded Moshe. I don't know how many times he's got to tell us. As Yah had commanded Moshe. And he put the gold slaughter place in the tent of appointment in front of the veil, and burned sweet incense on it. When? As Yah has commanded Moshe. I think this we need to get a hold of that latter part of the verses, as Yah had commanded, and apply that to our life. If Yah commands us to do something, you do it. If Yah don't command you to do something, we don't do it. And he set up the covering to the door of the dwelling place, and he put the slaughter place of ascending offering before the door of the dwelling place of the tent of appointment, and offered upon it the ascending offering and the grain offering, as Yah had commanded Moshe. And he put the basin between the tent of appointment and the slaughter place, and put water therein for washing. And Moshe and Aharon and his sons washed their hands and their feet with water from it. As they went into the tent of appointment, and as they came near the slaughter place, they would wash, as Yah had commanded Moshe. And he raised up the courtyard all around the dwelling place and the slaughter place, and placed the covering of the courtyard gate. And Moshe completed the work. The glory of the Lord, Exodus 40:34, and the cloud covered the tent of the appointment, and the esteem of Yah filled the dwelling place. Filled the dwelling place. Listen, if Moshe would have never did everything exactly how Yah had commanded, down to the colors, down to the placement of the bread, if the bread itself was placed out of order, the tent of the appointment and the esteem of Yah would have never been filled. He would have never filled it. And Moshe was not able to come into the tent of appointment because the cloud dwelt on it, and the esteem of Yah filled the dwelling place. And listen, our bodies are a dwelling place for him. We say we want his glory and we want his set apart spirit. But listen, we can't live and do life the way we want to live and do life. If we want his glory, if we want his set apart spirit to dwell in his in our bodies, which is a temple for him, we have to do what he commands us to do, just like Moshe did. As Yah had commanded Moshe, I have to live my life as Yah had commanded Josh. I got to strive to live it. Will I have hiccups? Absolutely. Absolutely, I'm going to have a hiccup. But I don't stay in that hiccup. Listen, there was a price paid for my sins. I got to remember that. Now, don't do it deliberately and say, oh, well, I know I'm going to be forgiven. No, that's a big difference in doing it deliberately and having an accident, a hiccup, a mishap. But we have to know that our bodies is that dwelling place. If we want it, we got to do according to Yah has commanded us. And when the cloud was taken up from above the dwelling place, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, notice, this is life lessons. When Yah move, we move. When Yah's standing still, we stand still. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of Yah was on the dwelling place by day, and fire was on it by night, before the eyes of all the house of Israel and in all your journeys. Listen, you want Yah to cover you when you're up, and you want Yah to cover you when you're sleeping? Do all that Yah commands us to do. And this is the last slide, and this is the tabernacle. And I just wanted to put that slide up there because Yeshua is the exact model. He is the model of the tabernacle and to enter it. You can't go into the Father without going through. He said, I am the way. I am the way. So you're going through the entrance and you get to the altar of burnt offering. And that's where his sacrifice, the blood and the sacrifice for our sins was right there. And then we come to the bronze basin, the water. And Yeshua represents the water, and so does the Word. And then we come into the holies, the holy place, and he's the bread. He's the bread. He's the table of showbread. And he's the, what he says, I am the light of the world. He is the menorah. I am the light of the world. And we come to the altar of incense, and our prayers are lifted up. He hears them. He hears our prayers. And right there, all those steps, we get to come into the most holy of holies, into Yah, because of Yeshua HaMashiach. So thankful for the price that was paid. It couldn't have been no more bulls of blood and goats. It had to have been the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach himself. So I'm so thankful. And listen, this was the short version of this Torah. Trust me, it goes so much deeper. But I'm just thank Yah that he gave his only son to pay the price to where we have access to him now. What an honor. He's so good to us. So good to us. So that's all I have for this morning. I just want to tell y'all I thank y'all and I appreciate y'all for joining and listening. And, you know, we're facing some difficulties right now, but he is still a man of his word. His presence is in every step. His presence is in every step. And we don't have to fear, and that's not a character of him. He's not the author of fear. It's peace. But the enemy wants to attack our minds. But listen, we have to do according to everything he says, according to everything Yah's command. That's how we have to live our life. In order for his Shekinah glory to dwell in us, we follow his commands the best way we can and strive to be more like Yeshua. Amen. He's so good to us. So we're going to go ahead and pray. Let's remember all those that are sick and still in the hospital. We're just going to continue to pray for complete healing. He's not done. He's not finished. We've seen he's going to finish what he started. His word is proven, and we're going to hold him to his word. he already knows. He knows, and we thank him for those that have been already touched and healed already, but we still have some, and not only in our church, but our parish from up the road to down the road, we all his people, and so I just want to pray for everyone that is facing tough times, everyone that is facing difficulties and sick in their bodies, and also let's remember Jade's family as the services is coming up this week. Let's just remember them because they need eyes are open and to where they can see what their hope and calling is in Yah. Because, I mean, you know, that's just what the enemy wants. He wants to sow discord and amongst families, and we're going to come against it. We're going to speak against it and hold them up in prayer also.